Now, we find again this word worship used and translated a little differently in verse 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the worship, and our translation says, service of God. And the little word always, they went always, it meant they went continually. They never finished the job. If they go today, they'll be going tomorrow. And if they go tomorrow, they'll be going the next day, and on and on and on. And I'm of the opinion that it became very monotonous over the years for a priest just continually to go through this ritual. Probably one priest would say to another, "Don't you get tired of doing this?" And I'm sure that he would agree to that. It had to be repeated again and again, which meant that it was not satisfactory. That is, one time would not do. But we're going to see now, Christ has entered once into the holy place, and only one time. It's only necessary for him to go just one time. That is very important for us to see. Now, I'd like to call your attention to something that's very important, and this has to do with real worship. Not just a church service where an order of service is followed, where there may be a ritual that's not very complicated, or it could be a very complicated ritual. But when real worship takes place, that real worship is a worship that draws us into the presence of Christ, where we can adore Him. Now, worship actually comes from the same root word, the old Anglo-Saxon word, of worth. It is giving to someone that which is worthy. They are worthy to receive adoration and praise. That's worship. And the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to receive our praise and our adorations. And then service follows from that. Real worship will always lead to service. You remember when the Lord Jesus answered Satan in the wilderness temptation? Here was an answer he gave, and he always quoted Scripture, and it was this: "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You see, worship, if it's real worship, will lead to service. You don't have to beg and coax and goad people into doing something if they are participating in real worship of Christ, because real worship leads to service. Now, many of us ministers spend a great deal of time urging people to do something, you know, for God. Urge them to give. Urge them to do visitation. Urge them to teach. Urge them to sing. Urge them to do something. Well, real worship will lead to service, always, if it's real worship. And maybe we just didn't provide real worship. Now, the first thought that's in worship is that of rendering, therefore, homage and adoration and praise in the presence of God to our wonderful Savior. And that worship is a service, and it leads to real service out yonder where the rubber meets the road. That's when we roll up our sleeves, and that's when we spit on our hands and we get to work for the Lord. May I say to you, worship is adoration right through this section here. Now, I want to say that real worship is only possible through Jesus Christ. The ritual of the tabernacle actually never got the people into the presence of God. The high priest alone went into the Holy of Holies. Now, I'm going to come back to that tabernacle again, and I'm not promoting books right now, but my book on the tabernacle, God's Portrait of Christ, deals with this thing. And for those of you who participate with us in the program, we'd be delighted to send you a copy of it. I deal particularly with the articles of furniture. Now, the tabernacle proper was just a big gold box, 30 cubits long. That would be about 45 feet, and 10 cubits wide. That would be about 15 feet, and 10 cubits high. And it was in turn divided into two sections. In the holy place, there was, as we are told here, these certain articles. For instance, there was the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and then there was in the background the golden altar, the altar of incense, and it speaks of prayer. No sacrifice was ever made there. Now, in the Holy of Holies, where the high priest went, and it was separated by a veil, why, there were two articles of furniture. There was the ark. It was just a box made out of gopher wood overlaid inside and outside with gold. On top of it was a very highly ornamented top called the mercy seat. Cherubim were made there. They looked down upon the top of the box, and that's where the blood was placed. That's what made it a mercy seat, because the Lord had said to them in Leviticus, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, we find here that there's been a little change made. We're told that inside the Holy of Holies, there is this censer, as it is called here, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold. Now, why does he move it on the inside? Well, to begin with, the veil has already been removed. The veil is down today. That veil speaks of Christ, and it speaks in particular of the life of Christ, made of fine twine, Egyptian byssus linen, with the cherubims woven into it. And it speaks actually of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Now, when he died on the cross, he gave his life on the cross, his human life, that veil was rent in twain. And the way to God now is wide open, because he's made a way. He says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And the veil has been rent in twain, and we can come right in to God's presence today. But what happened to that golden censer, the golden altar? Well, it's moved inside. Didn't Aaron, on the great day of atonement, didn't he, with the blood, come by that altar? Didn't he take a censer and fill it with coals and then put incense and went inside? In other words, he is transferring, as it were. He's transferring the altar of incense to the inside at that particular time. But, of course, he picked up that censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar and had sweet incense on it. He brought it back out. Here you have the transferring of it into the Holy of Holies, but he brought it out, and he's going to do it again next year. We got a great high priest. He's our great intercessor, always at the golden altar there making intercession for you, and his prayers are heard, by the way. Therefore, it's on the inside, but it's also on the outside. You and I can come through him by prayer, and that's what Paul meant, that being justified by faith, we not only have peace with God, but we have access to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is something that is quite interesting. Now, he mentions here also what was in that ark. He tells us that there was in it the golden pot that had manna. That speaks of the present ministry of Christ and feeding those that is own. He feeds them with his word. He's the bread of life, and you get the bread at the bakery, which is the Bible. The Bible is God's bakery, and if you want bread, that's where you're going to go for it. And Aaron's rod that budded, that speaks of the death and resurrection of Christ, because that was a dead rod, and life came in it. And the tables of the covenant, and that meant the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law. Now, we have this presented to us here as real worship. This is real worship, if you please, that he's presenting to us at this time. And I want you to note that as we move down here now.